Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us for another episode of Hooked on Sport, the only podcast with a laser focus on South Australian sport from the greats to the grassroots. I'm Ben Hook, and if there is anyone more passionate about the SA sporting community, then it is my co-host Sophie Hilditch. Soph, good evening.
Good evening, Hookie. How are you going?
I'm going all right. We've had some challenges. We'll get to them because we have had a conversation with a superstar Olympian, and we had some very big concerns over whether it actually recorded, but we think we've solved it, haven't we?
Oh, look, fingers crossed. I'm not overly confident, but I think we got it down packed in the end, and she was a great champ in that as well.
We'll talk about her later. We're missing Wallace tonight. We're literally playing a game of Where's Wally? We are all mates. He's actually off playing in the senior state amateur golf tournament at the moment, so he's down in Narracourt. So we wish him all the very best. I think he played pretty well yesterday, tougher today. We'll welcome him back next week.
Yeah, we're definitely wishing him all the best. Cannot wait to hear how he's going on that golf course. I'm a bit worried though, Hookie. We're not supervised tonight. That's a bit scary.
It is scary. I tell you what, I feel a bit sorry for Wallace because we're going to send him this link and he's going to spend about 17 hours tomorrow editing out ums and ahs and, oh, geez, I stuffed that up. He's just going to have to deal with it. It'll be a lot of fun for him. Hey, are you nervous about Thursday night? Of course, it's Crows and Collingwood. How are you feeling?
Look, I'm feeling pretty good, Hookie. Am I nervous? 100% I'm nervous. We're finally at the finals and we've got Collingwood. I think it's going to be a huge game and I cannot wait for it. But importantly, Taylor Walker's 300th game. How exciting.
It is tremendously exciting. Glad you picked that up. Alex Neil-Bull is playing his 200th game as well. So some big milestones for the Adelaide Football Club. I don't know that I love big milestones in big games. I think you can get a little bit overstimulated with those sorts of things. But Taylor Walker, oh, look, I'm a mate of Taylor, so I'm going to give a biased opinion here, but I'm interested in your thoughts. Taylor Walker, his influence on the Adelaide Football Club and AFL in general, just off the top of your head, your thoughts.
Yeah, look, I think Tex is incredible for the Crows. He's an all-time goal kicker with 678 majors since his debut in 2009, I think, and isn't that just an incredible stat? But look, I think he's a great role model for the club. He's gone through ups and downs. He's gone from being a bachelor when he first started to a husband to a father with the Crows. He's a proud South Australian boy, and I cannot wait to celebrate his 300th game. I think it's well-deserved, well-earned, and I think he's a true inspiration for the Crows.
Fifth player from the Adelaide Football Club to reach 300 games, Rashudo McLeod Goodwin Edwards. I mean, that's an illustrious list. I've actually got him at three. I think I've got Rashudo and McLeod ahead of him, Goodwin and Edwards behind him. I just think about what he has been through at the Adelaide Football Club. So he's the captain of the football club in 2015 and his coach dies the day before a game. I mean, as the captain of a football club, the responsibility he had to take, he had to bear upon his shoulders. This was a coach, Phil Walsh, that he absolutely adored. And the Crows still went on and played and won a final that year. It was quite incredible. I think he stood down at the right time at the end of 2018 when the wheels had started to fall off the club. I think he understood that it was the right time for some new leadership. I remember watching him in 2020. So that was the COVID year. They were playing up in the Gold Coast a lot. Adelaide were really struggling. They finished bottom that year. And I'm looking at Tex going, I don't think he's going to play maybe one more year at tops. And so here we are at the end of 2025. He'll play his 300th game. And I think it's entirely his decision whether he plays in 2026. It is incredible, his longevity, the way he has reinvented himself from the key forward to a guy who is a high half forward, third guy in the team, and just allowing Darcy Fogarty and Riley Filthorpe to do the work. Mm-hmm. It has been an incredible career, and I do kind of completely biased again hope that it finishes one way or another with an AFL premiership, because I think that not everyone gets what they deserve, but he would richly deserve an AFL premiership. He's been an incredible footballer for the Adelaide Football Club and for this town for a long period of time. Mm-hmm.
No, 100% agree, Hookie.
Your tip for Thursday night, Soph, Crows versus Collingwood. What do you think?
Look, I've got to go Crows, Hookie. It's a home game. The crowd is going to be huge. Bit of controversy this week with the sold out of the members allocation. I think it was only within an hour. It was crazy. But no doubt that crowd is going to be electric, and I reckon that's going to push our boys over the line.
I find it hard to disagree. I do think Adelaide probably only just. Gee, it's been a funny week, Soph. The best season for the football club in 8 years, directly after what I think has probably been their most disappointing 2024, when they expected to play finals. And they finished bottom four. I've got to love the chair, John Olsen, former Premier of South Australia. You can take the man out of politics, but you can't take the politics out of the man, can you? When Adelaide was going rough last year, where was he? He was nowhere to be seen. It was Tim Silvers who was taking every single bullet. And I was just delighted to see John Olsen, who I love. I love hearing him speak. I think he is a wonderful orator. He can put together a sentence so well. But he's doing three-part series for the Advertiser this week when they finished with the minor premiership. So just thought that was absolutely beautiful that Tim Silvers was front and centre when everything was going absolutely pear-shaped last year. Is Tim Silvers still even the CEO of the club? Because I have not seen him bob his head up at one opportunity now that they're going well. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. Look, I think Adelaide win. I think Rankin's a loss, and Rochelle obviously would have been handy, and it looks like he won't get up in time for the qualifying final. Max Michelani, I've got to tell you this story because I think this is amazing. Max Michelani came to the Adelaide Football Club as a father-son. His dad, Jim Michelani, played for Norwood, played in four premierships. The first of them was in 1975, so they had the 50-year anniversary this year. He was a 19-year-old. He was brought in by Bob Hammond and went on and played in that 1975 grand final victory over Glenelg. That was on the 27th of September, 2025. If Max Michelani goes on to play in the grand final, his first grand final for the Adelaide Crows, guess what date that will be? Now, don't guess, because I'll just tell you. The 27th of September, 2025, 50 years to the day since his dad played in that SANFL premiership for Norwood, and he got there on the strength of being a father-son of his dad. So that would be that's absolute X-File stuff, I reckon.
Yeah, no, that's an incredible story. Well, talking about the SANFL, do you want to give us a little bit of a wrap from the weekend just been?
Two cracking games. Norwood have got over Central District, I think it was by 18 points. Glenelg have beaten the Adelaide Crows by 1 point. There were 9 league changes across the two games, so they were absolute thrillers. I mean, the SANFL is in rude health at the moment. We've had a discussion about a couple of things that I thought maybe they could do to improve it, but it's going pretty well. I've got to be honest, I loved what I saw between the elimination final and the qualifying final on the weekend. I think we probably had the right winners. I think Norwood have come in with very, very good form in the back half of the year. They started slowly, but here they are now with a crack in a first semi-final. And that was just a wonderful game, Glenelg versus Crows. And even though the Crows have lost and they've now got to come through the first semi-final themselves, they'll be playing against Norwood. I don't rule them out for the flag whatsoever. I just want to make this point. Look, so if I watched a lot of SANFL football in the 80s. It's a generation before you were even born, but I remember some of the legendary coaches of that era. John Cale was coaching. It was the back end of, John Cale was coaching. Neil Baum was coaching. There was it was just a legendary time in South Australian football with all of these champion coaches. Marty Matner, two flags. Darren Reeves, two flags. Jade Sheedy, two flags. And then Matt Wright, of course, he's the best resource state league coach in the competition. That's patently obvious. So, yeah, I think it is just incredible the quality of coaching we've got. Josh Franco was going to be coaching in the SNFL next year. All three of those coaches that I just listed who are now in the running for a third premiership title are back-to-back winners of an SNFL title. So, you know, I think back through the SNFL, Bob Hammond, Neil Baum, Graham Corns, Nathan Bassett, all of these guys are two-time premiership coaches. It's not a bad record. And these guys, one of these guys is going to be a three-time premiership coach unless it's the Crows and Matthew Wright. So, yeah, amazing. The McGarry Medal is on now. I'm going to give you a result for that. Not that that matters too much because by the time people are listening to this, it's, everything ever is going to be right across it. But, yeah, it's been a wonderful weekend for the SNFL in the sweet spot where the AFL decides to take a week off. And I think we're going to have three more wonderful, wonderful weeks. We've got some other news to get through. Tell me about what is going on in South Australian hockey right now, because there's some big names that are playing some big games.
Yeah, some huge names, Hooky. So obviously the Hockey SA, they're in the middle of their Premier League finals at the moment. But the big news is Hattie Shand and Lucy Sharman have both been selected to represent Australia at the 2025 Oceania Cup in Darwin to be held this week, 4th to 7th of September. How exciting is that, Hooky?
Yeah, it is incredible. I'm a big fan of Hattie Shand. She's been in the system for a long time. Lucy Sharman, relatively new. I've got to make this point, and you're a hockey kid, so you'll know this better than me. If you're a country kid, it seems like you know your way around a hockey pitch better than anyone. So if you go through women's hockey in particular, the last five South Australians to have played for the Hockey Roos, Jane Claxton is the odd one out. She's our most capped hockey roo out of South Australia now, but she's a city kid. Here's the next four. Hattie Shand from Narracourt, Lucy Sharman from Kalangadoo, so both in the southeast of South Australia, Georgie Parker and Carrie McMahon, both from the Riverland. And then if we flip our attention across to the Kookaburras, the last Kookaburra to play for South Australia is from out of South Australia is Tom Wickham, who came from Wakeree. So I tell you what, if you're a country kid and you want to go to the Olympic Games, start playing some hockey on those rough pitches, those grass, dirt, whatever it is, pitches that you play on, because that seems to be the great pathway through to being representing Australia in either the Hockey Roos or the Kookaburras.
Oh, that's an interesting connection, Hooky. I hadn't actually ever thought about that one, so you've upsmarted me there, that's for sure.
Haven't upsmarted you at all, but it's just because I'm old, Soph, and I remember back to these things. In fact, I did a wonderful story with Georgie Parker, who's an absolute media star. She's doing the US Open coverage for the free-to-air broadcaster. But I did a story with her and Carrie McMahon holding hockey sticks with berry oranges on them, just as a bit of a representation of where they're from. Good fun. Let's talk about some other things. Can I just share with you the story of the downfall of the West Adelaide Soccer Club in the Women's National Premier League competition? It is a downfall perhaps unlike any other I've seen in South Australian sport. They got to the end of the minor round competition, Soph, 18-game season, so 10 in the competition. They'd won 15 and drawn 3, had not lost a game for the year. 1-15, drawn 3. They went into the second semi-final against the Adelaide Cobras and they were 1-0 up and they blew it and lost 3-1. But they got the double chance, no drama. So they would play Campbelltown City. Now, Campbelltown City were promoted from the state league competition last year. They fell in by a point into the top five. They went 7 wins, 2 draws and 9 losses. I mean, just do the maths against a side that's undefeated for the entire year. And so there they are playing in the preliminary final. Campbelltown City were one down after, I think West Adelaide scored in about the 60th minute. Campbelltown City equalised in the 74th minute, I think it was. And then in the 92nd minute, put the winner in. and West Adelaide Soccer Club, who have won the cup, won the minor premiership, and have been bounced out in straight sets with two losses, having not lost for the year. I mean, that is one of the all-time devastating stories. So we really feel for West Adelaide, who did so much right this year. But that's our finals work, isn't it, Soph?
Yeah, it always comes down to finals, unfortunately, Hookie. I mean, incredible seasons. That one's got to hurt for them. But, I mean, that's finals, isn't it?
Quick story out of country footy. You, Soph, you know that I'm a big fan of country footy. I want to give a big congratulations to Craig Stewie Walker, who has played his 400th game of footy for Murrayville Football Club. Murrayville is actually a Victorian football club, so we should probably just rule it out straight away, because once it gets outside the South Australian border, Soph, we don't like to talk about it. But they play in the Murray Valley Football League. They're the only Victorian team that plays in the South Australian League. And they have done for many, many years. They actually played in the Mallee League. I'll wheel back to that. But I just want to share with you the story about Craig Walker, Stewie Walker, 400th game. He plays alongside his son, Dylan. And these guys are playing A grade. So this isn't like he's just running around in the C grade, getting a kick against all the old dudes and the young kids who are 14, 15. Because in the Murray Valley competition, each team only has one grade. So this is the former Riverland Independent competition. There's a whole host of things in that region that changed at the end of 2022. The Mallee League disbanded completely, of which Murrayville was one of those teams. Murrayville were the Bulldogs, and they played in the Riverland Independent League. But then Caroona and Peak District merged, and they went to the River Murray League, and that set the wheels in motion for the disbandment of the Mallee League. They went to what was the Riverland Independent League, which became the Murray Valley League, had to lose a team, lost their B-grade team, and had to go from the Bulldogs to what is essentially like a Carlton Blues Guernsey. And I just think to myself, imagine if you or I were involved in a community club and just got told, oh, well, through no fault of your own, your league is disbanding. You've got to go and play a completely different bunch of teams. You're not allowed to have a B grade, and you've got to change your team colours and your team logo and emblem. I mean, we're city kids who just don't really have to experience that. And that's what Murrayville have went through. So for Craig Stewie Walker, in and amongst all of that, to play 400 games, I just reckon that is an incredible story. A bit down the road in the KNTFL League, so that's Cowrie, Narracourt, Tatiara. Lucendale took on Keith in the qualifying final. Lucendale, the second team, Keith, the third team. Lucendale were leading by 32 points at quarter time. They were leading by 39 points at halftime. They were leading by 37 points at three quarter time, Soph. Mm-hmm. So you would have thought Lucendale went on and won that one pretty comfortably?
You'd think so.
Keith kicked 7-4. To 0-4 in the final term and won by 5 points. So what an amazing result that is. Lucendale versus Keith. Oh, before I forget about it, Soph, I want to put to you, without notice, a message we got from Gordon Anderson this week. Great mate of mine, Gordon Anderson, very heavily involved in the Glenelg Football Club, took, I reckon, what is maybe the best SNFL photo ever. There was a game between Glenelg and Central District, I think it was, where the two captains came to the middle before the game for the toss of the coin. No umpire had remembered to bring a coin, so the two captains had to go paper, rock, scissors, and he got the perfect photo, which he shared with. So anyway, love Gordon. In fact, we might ask Gordo, just see if he can share that photo with us, and we might put it up on our Instagram page because it's worth revisiting. It's a great story. But Gordo put this to us. It's a wonderful thought piece. Can I launch a big issue radical plan? Cut out the Adelaide Cup public holiday and instead have an Adelaide 500 holiday on the Friday. Massively bigger crowd in attendance as it is, and at a wild guess, far more people employed in the motoring industry in Adelaide than horse racing. Soph, you've had no time at all to think about that. What do you reckon?
I love this. How long have you had this message for, Hookie? It's Monday night.
6 days. 6 days.
So I love how this is just being thrown on me right now. Normally,
in 6 days ago, I also replied to Gordo. I said, I will put that up as a topic for discussion next week, my man, which I have now done. Yep. Just gave you no warning.
Perfect. It's normally the fair or farces I get no warning, but I love how we're just throwing it out at the top of the show. Look, Ben, it's an interesting comment. Radical is definitely a correct word for it. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it. I do love the Adelaide Cup, and I think it's a great celebration in SA. What are your thoughts? You've had six days.
I disagree. I think Gordo, and you might argue that everyone who sells a car is part of the motoring industry, and mm-hmm. I think that's fine. But I reckon there are more people in the racing industry who are actually involved in the either the breeding or the training mm-hmm. or the owning or the strapping or the riding of horses over and above the motor racing industry in South Australia. So I do think it's a bigger industry that employs more people in South Australia, the horse racing industry. Having said that, I do think the Adelaide Cup as a 3,200 metre race belongs in May and not in March. And I think we've got enough holidays in March, haven't we? We sort of get Easter. I don't know that we need another one again. I would prefer to see the March holiday go to May and the Adelaide Cup holiday run then. I don't know that we need a holiday specifically for the Adelaide 500. Gordo will probably write back and give me a bit of a gobful now. And I don't really want to upset him because he's been very good to me historically. However, I disagree.
Yep. Well, I look forward to hearing his text back to you at the next podcast after you've had 6 days to consider that one.
Yes. I'll make sure that I get 6 days to think about it and you get 30 seconds. That's the way we roll. I tell you what, I have given you some opportunity to think about those, Soph, is Sophie Starr.